This time I'd like to call to order the meeting of the Genoa Township Board of Trustees. This is our regular Township Trustee meeting. It is September 5th, 2019. The time is 6:30 p.m. This meeting of the Genoa Township Trustees will be recorded. The meeting audio and written minutes are available on Genoa Township's website at www.genoatwp.com or by contacting the Genoa Township Fiscal Office. Roll call at this time.
Roll call, Mr. D'Antonio.
Yes.
Ms. Goodman.
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt.
Yes. Present. Pledge. Going to ask Chief Honeycutt to lead us in a pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thanks, Chief. All right, we're going to start off with our county, state, and public officials' comment. We do have two visitors from the County Board of Elections with us tonight. Ali Solov and Amy Murphy are with the Board of Elections. They are here to talk about poll worker coordination and outreach. And also, for anyone interested, they did bring in the new voting machines, which we'll talk about as well. So, Ali?
Yeah, Township. And I'm a loud person to begin with, so I'm always, if I get too loud, let me know. I'm Ali Solov. I work for the Board of Elections, and I'm here with Amy Murphy. We take care of the poll worker recruitment, training, retention, we pay them, but also we do the outreach. When we have new equipment, we're required by revised code to get out into the communities. Last election we had it, but it was a very, very small election. So that's why we're out trying to just show people so that when they get into this next election, and obviously very busy ones in 2020, that they're already exposed to it. So we just have just a couple slides here. And again, thank you for letting us come here. We appreciate your time. We're here for about new voting equipment. You saw it in the back. Hopefully most people had a chance. People want to see on a paper ballot of who they voted for. Our old equipment, there was a paper trail, because there always is, but it reels up and it goes quickly. You don't actually get to see it, but it's there. Voters were not wanting that nationwide. In the state of Ohio, quite a few of the counties have gone to this type of equipment. Usually it's the medium to larger counties. We're considered a medium county, okay? But they get a look at their ballot. They get to see who they picked. They have another time to verify it before we actually cast their ballot in a tabulator. There's three steps to casting your vote. The poll pads, which you implemented in 2015, is the poll pad that you sign in, that we verify, yes, you are supposed to be in here, you are supposed to be voting on the issues in that area. We have you sign, and you get an authority to vote slip that they actually will pull up your ballot from. The change is the new equipment now, this past year. We have what we call the Freedom Vote, which is the equipment that was on the table there. We just call it the ballot marker. It actually makes your ballot for you. It doesn't keep any records in it. It just makes your ballot. Then the voter will take that over to the tabulator, and then they will cast their vote. So the next piece of equipment that's new is the ballot tabulator, which is called OVO. It's a very long name, but abbreviated, it's OVO. The voter inserts their ballot to cast their vote. It will thank them for casting their vote. It will show that the number has gone up by one. What's nice about this, in each location, like you do have some large locations around here, Heritage, Genoa, instead of needing 48 flash cards at the end of the night, we'll have four tabulators by the doors, and we get them from those. So, election tools, we use the poll pads we've used in the past. This is our tabulator, which is actually where you cast your ballot. And those freedom votes that we talked about a minute ago, the ballot markers, are actually on a large cart. So it's even easier for the poll workers. The carts are already there. They take off the lids. We do have privacy screens that go around all of them. And the response in May was everyone loved them. Okay, so that's a good thing. And we just like to say a little bit about poll workers. We need at least 900. But with some of the technical people, we need about 1,000 people for a full election. Polling locations, we have to have bipartisan units. If somebody's a nonpartisan, we say for that day, which way would you prefer? It doesn't put you on any list. It doesn't change your voter registration or anything like that. But Amy and I are required to make sure we have equal of both major parties. And at this time, those are the only two in the county. We have 165 precincts, and we have 48 polling locations. So that's a lot of locations. In each place, a unit for voting, we have two poll pads as a minimum. We have 1 to 8 of those carts. So like Genoa Baptist will have 8 of those carts. So they'll have 32 of those ballot markers. And then 2 to 4 tabulators. We actually, one thing we've added, which arrow was it, that one? Oh, well, don't look at that one yet. One thing we're making sure of, we're adding more poll workers on, because when you have that tabulator and someone has made their ballot, we don't want them to think that's a receipt. That is your live ballot, because what the device you made it in keeps no records. So we're having extra poll workers by the door, by each of these machines, to say, ma'am, you know, or sir, you need to put that in here. This is where you cast your ballot. Eventually, the voters will get used to that, but for quite a few elections, we will have people, extra poll workers, manning those. This past summer, we had an appreciation event on July 11th. We had over 200 people. We celebrated our outstanding poll worker, Eloise Collier. She's 95. And then we also, our longest serving poll worker is Helen Christensen, who's going into her 55th year. So our poll workers, we just have wonderful poll workers. They're very dedicated. And there are people in your own community that are actually working those polls. Okay. We had different awards and stuff like that. But I don't have my glasses. Oh, there it is. Sorry, guys. No, it's going to be my glasses for this. How you can be involved, spread the word, social media, Twitter, Facebook. If you have a city website, City of Delaware put it on their water bill. If you want to be a poll worker, call this number. Publications, you have a community board, we'd like to get it put on. You can volunteer yourself. Even though we say volunteer, you do get paid. Positions anywhere from like 150 to 240, depending on what kind of position you would have. Bring a friend. It's a long day. It's a 15-hour day. But I was telling Pat here to see if his son would. And I thought, we have a 95-year-old that can last 15 hours. They say they rest up the day before and the day after, but it's a very rewarding day. And so, as I said, we have so many poll workers that keep coming back, but we do have a certain amount that are now taking care of a sick spouse, grandkids are babysitting, or they just can't. So we're always needing to add more poll workers. And this time, because we have new equipment, we really have a need to have more. So if you can help us spread the word, we would really appreciate it. And if anybody has any questions about the equipment, I think we tried to get to everyone because we are on the county dime. We're not paid to sit here usually, so as soon as we do our thing, we kind of pack up and leave. But if anybody has any questions? Nope.
Any questions?
Yeah. No, they're super easy to use.
Yeah. And you'll see this equipment, on November 5th when we have our next election. So, okay.
Allie, so if someone is interested in volunteering work, working at the polls, they're to contact you at the Board of Delaware County Board of Elections.
Yeah, they can just call the Board of Elections, and they'll send them to Amy and I. Amy and I we are bipartisan. Yeah. She's a Democrat. I'm the Republican. We work together because on election day, it doesn't matter what party the people are. We have to make sure every location stands on their own and works really well. So we work together all the time about that.
And you are also using high school kids now,
yes,
too, right?
If you're a high school senior, you have to be
senior.
A senior,
okay.
And 17 in good standing at school, you know, which really means you don't have to be the AP student. You can be the C student. But as long as, you know, you're not skipping school or whatever, you're in good standing. Big Walnut, I think last November we had 35 kids.
Okay.
Buckeye Valley had 40. The spring one is kind of hard because of graduation and prom and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But we'll probably have about 130 high schoolers help us.
Great.
And it's just a wonderful program. And so if you know of anyone that has a high schooler that would like to make a little money, we do actually give them a recommendation letter that we put in their file at school, and we also send them one. I don't know how much it helps, but it couldn't hurt.
Sure.
And the kids really enjoy it.
Very good.
So.
All right.
Well, thank you for letting us come out here and see it. If you know if anybody has any question that they hear of new voting equipment or they hear some far-fetched thing on Facebook or whatever, have them give us the call at the Board of Elections. And if you know a friend that listens to too much of that kind of stuff on Facebook or whatever, tell them to work the polls, one election, and you'll see how secure it is in Delaware County.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, I think that's always, not always. That seems to be a issue among, you know, some folks is the confidentiality and voter fraud, and I know the Secretary of State working through the Board of Elections has taken great steps to ensure that.
We could never vouch or talk about other counties, but we know in Delaware County your vote is secure, the equipment is secure, we do not have any tampering, but I still, if somebody has doubt, it's always like, come work for us for a day, or actually come work in our office leading up to it. We have the absentee in-person vote center where we have people come work, and they actually see what really goes behind behind the scenes and help. So
early voting starts when?
October 7th, I think it is, yes. Okay. And that's online because it's a different schedule. First, it starts out Monday to Friday, like right. 8 to 4:30, 8 to 5. And then the two weekends before, there's a variety of hours, so you really need to look online.
Yep.
And then it ends the Monday before at 2 o'clock.
Okay. Okay. Amy, anything to add?
One more thing.
Yep, if you would come up. Oh, yeah. I hate to have you come up front, but the way you're on the audio.
One more thing is that if you know anyone in your township, it's best, we prefer to have people work in their township because you don't want people from, like, you know, Lewis Center working in Genoa. You know, people like to have their own township friends working at their township location. So if you know anyone who you think would be a good fit for it, it's not as long as it seems. It's like crock pot, you hang out, you help people vote. It's fun.
Very
Thanks.
Good.
Thanks
and I know
for
we have,
us.
Leslie's not here tonight, but I know we have posted it and tried to get some work.
The biggest thing you guys can do is just pass the word for us because we have that need. It's just, it's a wonderful process, a wonderful opportunity for people, and they do make a few bucks along the way.
Very good. Okay. All right. Thanks.
Thank you all for
Go ahead and tear down, and we're ready to go. All right. Thanks for coming out. Thank you, Amy. All right. Okay, I don't think there's anyone else here as far as county, state, or public officials, so we'll go on to public comment. Anyone here for public comment?
Okay. Renee Vaughn, 6368 Mahogany Drive. Just want to give some kudos to the fire EMS people came to my house on Monday. Oh. Yeah, you never know when you're going to need it until you need it. My 18-year-old son was home from college, had a nut that he shouldn't have had. Wasn't on his list. Throat started to close up, and we hesitated, but then we were like, you know what, we just got to bite the bullet and call. So we did, and they were there, and it was great. So I already reached out to Chief Honeycutt, but I just want to publicly thank them. It's awesome.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Yeah, yeah.
So it wasn't your husband cooking dinner?
No,
okay,
no.
Got it.
And actually, he has an EpiPen, but again, he was home from college. The EpiPen's up at school.
Yeah.
You can't just go get one.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, it's a scary situation.
Good. Well, I'm glad.
He's good.
Glad they were there, though.
He had hives from head to toe for a while, but sorry.
All right. Thanks, Renee. All right. Anyone else for public comment? All right. Seeing none. Fiscal office report.
Matt? Yes. Just a couple things. I need to ask for your approval of trustee meeting minutes. July 11th, special trustee meeting. Zoning meeting. I'm sorry. Special trustee zoning meeting. July 18th, regular trustee meeting. August 1st, regular trustee meeting.
I'll make a motion to approve the following trustee meeting minutes. June 11th, 2019, special trustee zoning meeting. July 18th, 2019, regular trustee meeting. And August 1, 2019, regular trustee meeting. Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion.
I'll move to amend that. to add the phrase, a full and accurate account of this meeting's audio recording can be found at www.genoatwp.com on the July 11th, 2019 minutes. It's absent.
Okay.
June 11th?
July 11th.
July. Oh, my bad. Yeah, July.
July 18th. Okay, so moved.
No. July 11th. It was on the 18th. July 18th, and it was on the August 1st. It's not on July 11th.
Yeah, it's July.
Okay. All right. So, we'll go ahead and accept amendment. Second?
Second.
Seconded. Okay. All those in favor saying aye?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You want to do roll call?
Yeah, go ahead. Getting ahead
roll
of
call, Mr. D'Antonio.
This is as amended?
As amended. Yeah.
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes. Motion carries. Thank sorry you. About that. Got ahead of myself a little bit here. Financials?
Yeah, financials, I'll have them for your review. Everything's reconciled. We have a total of $26,535,112.93, $25,498,187.32 is the pooled investments. Again, that will include the bond proceeds, which will be moved to pay for the police station. And a primary balance of $1,036,925.61. So we have that money invested in making whatever money we can on it in the meantime.
All right. Do you have a schedule of the funds expended for the new police facility?
Yes, I can get that to you.
Yeah, I thought that that was a monthly report that we were supposed to be getting.
Well, there, but hasn't...
We still should get a
monthly report. Since
the last
time... Okay, just even if there's no change?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Sure enough.
Okay. 2019 permanent appropriations.
Yeah, I asked, moved to, I would ask you to move to put $4,641.57 appropriated into the bond retirement fund for the police station for tax collection fees on the property.
And I'll move to approve the 2019 permanent appropriations for the bond retirement fund police station in the amount of $4,641.57 for tax collection fees. Is there a second?
Second.
Made and seconded. Any discussion?
How is that calculated?
I couldn't even tell you. I can find out for you from Sherry. It's just they send the bill to us.
They sent the bill to us yet?
Yes. That's why we're appropriating money for it. But I can ask Sherry how...
We don't have anything in our packet on this, do we? I didn't see anything.
No, just the appropriation. Just moving the money into that fund so we can pay it out, so it's paid out of the bond fund, out of the bond money.
Right.
Yes, if you could get...
You want the house calculated from Sherry?
Sure. Yes.
Okay, your questions? Roll call.
Roll call, Mr. D'Antonio.
Yes.
Ms. Goodman.
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt.
Yes. Motion carries.
Need to approve the permanent appropriation for the police capital project fund in the amount of $150,000 for miscellaneous site preparations. Need to have that money approved as things start to get spent on that. So we'll put that money into the capital fund out of the investment.
Okay, I'll move to approve 2019 permanent appropriations for the police station capital projects fund in the amount of $150,000 for miscellaneous site preparations. Is there a second?
Second.
Made and seconded. Pat, as I understand it, that 150 is basically broken down, 90,000 for the pipe that we approved for the site a couple meetings ago. There was 9,000 for EMH&T for the surveying, and 5,000 for miscellaneous costs. So, and from what I also understand, that once we have a contract, then everything will go through that process. Correct.
Correct.
Okay.
Once the bids are coming in now. When's the bid in?
October.
Yeah.
It opened.
So that's what the breakdown is based on a conversation I had this morning with Donna. So,
as the police capital fund repaid the roads and bridges department for their time and material and rental?
When Bob keys in the hours of the employees that are working on site, those are paid out of the police fund. So the answer to your question is yes.
How about the expenses?
The expenses have not been paid. These were going to be paid over on, I think Don is going to do it as a final one motion to pay off the whole thing.
Okay. Well, I'm sure that the roads and bridge fund can use, especially since there's a levy on the ballot, I'm sure that they could use the money now rather than later.
The payroll has been paid for.
I understand.
But all of the expenses have been paid out of the general fund, so Bob's not footing that bill. So we're all right on that. The cost reimbursement for the expenses will be coming out of back to general fund.
So the general fund is short at
yes.
the moment.
Well, the general fund is not short.
It will be paid back.
It will be paid back. I mean, the expenses have been paid out of the general fund.
Right.
So, but we have money in the general fund.
But the general fund is short that amount of money because it hasn't been reimbursed yet.
That's correct.
It's still short. How much is that?
That's the same question you asked Pat this evening. I don't have that figure.
I can get it for you.
Okay. That's all.
Okay.
Roll call. Mr. D'Antonio.
Yes.
Ms. Goodman.
Yes.
Mr. Gebler.
Yes. Motion carries.
Supplemental appropriations for Bob. Bob can speak to it if you like him to. Moving money, $10,400 and $4,000. And then the next four out of the 190s are, he's ahead of the ball game on payroll. So he needs some money in these other spots, so we're going to take it out of salaries and move it over. So need to make those supplemental appropriations for Bob.
All right, so we'll move to retroactively authorize the fiscal officer to proceed with the following supplemental appropriations from Fund 2031-330-221-000 to Fund 2031-760-740-000 in the amount of $4,000, Road and Bridge Fund, Machinery, Equipment, and Furniture. From Fund 2192-20230-000 to Fund 2192-760-740-000 in the amount of $10,400, Fire Fund, Machinery, Equipment, and Furniture. From Fund 2031-330-190-000 to Fund 2031-330-360-000 in the amount of $15,000, Road and Bridge Fund, Contracted Services. From Fund 2031-330-190-000 to Fund 2031-760-730-000 in the amount of $45,000 for the Road and Bridge Fund Improvement of Sites. From Fund 1000-610-190-000 to Fund 1000-610-360-1000 in the amount of $15,000. That's the General Fund, Buildings and Grounds, Contracted Services. From Fund 1006101900000 to Fund 1000-760-730-000 in the amount of $20,000 for General Fund Improvement of Sites. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. So what I understand this to be, the top two address the right stuff. Payroll program.
Correct.
And the bottom three are the, let me see, for the police sites?
No.
What is that, Bob?
The bottom four.
The bottom four, I'm sorry.
Is to do road repair on Plum Road and also Jay Cox. I'm patching them almost weekly, and there's nine places on Jay Cox that are 200 and some feet long and 15 foot wide that it's not going to make it through winter. Same way on Plum, there's four areas.
Yeah.
And it's just to mill that off and redo the blacktop.
We just did Plum Road 1-2 years ago.
Plum Road. The patching was only patched. We haven't resurfaced it for about 8 years.
So that's the first. That's the 15 and the 45,000.
That is the 45. The 15. The 15 and the 15, and the contracted services. Is to pay for other contracts, such as in the buildings and grounds, is to pay for the pond maintenances and other items like that. In the street, it's to pay for street sweeping and contracts like that.
Okay. But those types of contracts, weren't those originally budgeted in the original appropriations? We do that every year.
They were budgeted. They've already been spent on other things because we didn't have the money.
So you took from these two accounts previously to pay for something else?
Yep.
And now you're refilling these two accounts?
Yes.
The note that I have with this was not regarding the police site, police building site. So thank you for clarifying what it was for, though. I knew what it wasn't, but I wasn't sure what that was for. So, all right.
Where is the other department's charges for the payroll software?
There's appropriations in those funds for those expenditures.
Why wasn't then fire and road and bridge appropriated?
I don't know.
All right. Any other questions? Roll call.
Roll call, Mr. D'Antonio.
Yes.
Ms. Goodman.
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt.
Yes. Motion carries.
That's all I have, but I did want to clarify. I'll get with Sherry Baker on the tax collection, Frank, and then the monthly expenditure report. Was there one other thing? Or was that just the two things you asked me? Okay, I just want to make sure. I had it written down separately. I want to make sure.
Yep.
Thank you.
All right. Trustee comments.
I only have one this evening. We need to reschedule the September 19th meeting. I'll be out of town.
Okay.
I'll be out of town September 18, 19, and 20.
Okay. How about that following week? 26th?
There's a Genoa Audit Committee meeting that I'd like to attend on that date.
It's in the evening, though, right?
It's in the evening.
Yeah.
It's a morning meeting.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to be, though. Could be in the evening.
Could be. So the 26th, you would be available for morning?
I could do the morning on the 26th.
Connie, you
good? I could do that morning.
All right. We schedule the 19th meeting will be rescheduled to September 26th at 8:30 a.m. Okay. The only thing I had is I just wanted to compliment Leslie and Lieutenant Lyons, and Brett on the video that was done for the crosswalk down at Mount Royal. I had received several calls from individuals concerned about the crosswalk and whether it was working or not. And I actually went down there and pushed the button, and yeah, it does work. It's just the people weren't pushing the button. They were just kind of waiting to see if it would work. So we talked to Leslie about maybe doing a video or how do we get that word out. I thought it was a well-done video. Brett Watkins used his drone, and Lieutenant Lyons provided some of the comments. So I know people have been seeing it, and it's a busy intersection regardless of the construction and commotion going on down there. So we just need to continue to spread the word on that. But I just wanted to give a shout-out to the folks and who put that together. Other than that, okay, maintenance. Bob?
First item is blanket purchase orders that you just approved to move the money. I need the four purchase orders.
Okay, so I'll move to approve the following blanket purchase orders: $15,000 Road and Bridge Fund Contracted Services, $45,000 Road and Bridge Fund Improvement of Sites, $15,000 Building and Grounds Contracted Services, and $45,000 Buildings and Ground Improvement of Sites. Second?
Second.
Made and seconded. Discussion. Roll call.
Roll call, Mr. D'Antonio.
Yes.
Ms. Goodman.
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt.
Yes. Motion carries.
Second item is accept the resignation of Anthony Hurt from Buildings and Grounds.
I'll move to accept the resignation of Buildings and Grounds Tech 1, Anthony Hurt, effective August 23rd, 2019. Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion. How long have you been with us, Bob?
About a month and a half.
Okay. All right. Short timer. All right. Roll call.
Roll call, Mr. D'Antonio.
Yes.
Ms. Goodman.
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt.
Yes. Motion carries.
In follow-up, Bob, how many people are you short-staffed, overstaffed,
staffed? I'm down two full-time people now. One in...
Including Mr. Hurt?
Yes.
Both in Buildings and Grounds, or?
Correct.
Has been posted, I assume, not yet?
No.
Okay.
So what's the game plan?
We were going to wait until after the election and see what happens there in case we had to move people from the street to someplace.
Where's the road levy?
You mean after the road levy?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So, I mean, I assume if you needed part-time people, I mean, I don't know if you're... There's people out there, if you're anticipating what kind of workload between now and then, but.
It's going to be busy, but I think with them two positions, I can deal with it.
Okay. All right.
The next item of business is name change of the Legacy Program. Last night at the PAC meeting, they came up with the top three names. I gave you a paper, and you can. They wanted Genoa Township Parks with the honorary giving program and commemorative giving program was the top getter on the committee, so they were wanting to know if what the trustees felt would be a good name change, that they would put them in rankings from the highest to the lowest.
So what you have given us is the rankings from the Parks Advisory
Correct.
Committee. Okay. And they wanted in front of each of those Genoa Township Parks.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Anyone here? We have a first. Go ahead.
What's the purpose of this? I mean, it's currently called Genoa Parks Legacy Programs, correct?
It's just called Legacy Program right now. It don't say anything about parks.
Okay, so that's the motivation, is to get the word Genoa Parks in there?
I think it was the... I was under just understanding the trustees wanted some other name other than the Legacy Program.
If I may...
That would not be me.
I think there was some discussion at a prior meeting about legacy, implying that this would be for deceased family, friends, etc. And the goal was, at the discussion at the Parks meeting too, was to make this more comprehensive so that it included not only memories of people, but it might be a recognition of a graduation or a specific event or a birth, whatever. The other part of the discussion was that historically this has been for trees and benches. And as opposed to putting in here the whatever program for trees and benches, it was just less specific so that people could just donate to the fund to be used in any way that they felt appropriate or that the committee felt appropriate. So these are more generic and, I think, inclusive was the goal of this.
Well, the committee just provides recommendations.
Mm-hmm. Correct, and it's Correct. Up to us.
They don't spend anything.
Right.
Pat, we currently have a legacy program fund.
Yes, there's a legacy program fund. Correct.
Under buildings, grounds, and
it's actually roads. The money goes into general fund.
But earmarked for that purpose.
Earmarked right. for that.
Right.
Like this year, we've had two benches bought, and them checks have been deposited in the general fund, and we bought the benches. All we're doing is getting the request, buying the bench, putting it out, and the money goes back in the general fund because that's where the money comes from in the first place.
Right.
So this is more of the marketing side of the equation.
Correct. Yeah.
And I know we have a person with the parks. You want to speak to it, Molly, as far as the discussion and maybe add some insight into this some more?
Molly McHale, 6817 Regency Drive. I'm the chair for the Parks Committee. And we understood that they wanted to rename the Legacy Program. So we just sat down. The first two, we wanted the Genoa Township Parks in front of it. But then the third one, we felt like because Parks was in the name that we were proposing, it didn't need to say Genoa Township Parks in addition at the front of it. But Connie did a great job of just summarizing what our thoughts were. You know, if somebody wanted to, the wildflowers are huge. I mean, everybody loves the wildflowers. So if somebody wanted to donate $50 towards the wildflower program, then yes, we understand it goes into the general fund and we don't actually get to spend it, but that money could be earmarked for helping out them with the maintenance budget as far as buying flower seeds.
Right. And it's, to commemorate whatever.
Yeah, it could be to commemorate something. It could just be that your family enjoys the wildflowers and you want to donate to that program.
Exactly.
And help to grow that space so that, you know, we're always trying to cut down on the amount of mowing that we're doing in the parks, and we're trying to, you know, increase the number of wildflower beds that we have. So if somebody really wanted to give to that, then we wanted to give township residents the opportunity to donate towards the wildflowers, or to buy a tree, just to buy a tree because they think we need more shade trees, or, you know, you could, you know, it might be earmarked for somebody's memory or a child's graduation or whatever, you know, they wanted, but it could just be to buy a tree.
And we still have the availability of the plaque or the stone that
in the benches.
So whatever that person wants on there, if they want to, in honor of or in memory of or to commemorate or whatever, they can put that in there. So
for a bench.
And I think even trees.
We're having trouble with trees.
Are we?
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah, I think we removed the plaque thing from the tree option. Yeah.
Okay. That's fine.
Mostly because when you buy a bench, there's the concrete pad. So the plaque could be set in the pad, whereas with the trees, you know, it gets set out so far that then it just kind of gets lost in the grass and
gets lost in the mulch.
Yeah. The mulch.
And as the tree grows, it covers up, it expands if it's a pine tree or something. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we just felt like the plaques were better used in the concrete for a bench.
Okay. All right.
I have one question. Pat, from an accounting standpoint, using the example $50, somebody wants to donate $50 for a specific purpose, i.e. wildflowers. Do we have sub-accounts within the general ledger account?
We can notate in UAM what it's for. And the UAM system allows us to notate what that money's for.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, it's just in one account. Mm-hmm. So I guess how do we link the UAN comment back to the actual spending of that money? Because I doubt that anybody's going back to the UAN footnotes and looking to see how much money we have in this program and then buying things with it.
Well, there would be a PO that would link back to that expenditure. So if there's a notation that $50 is for this, we cut a PO for $50 to buy flowers, that PO goes back to that entry.
Back to the donation entry?
Yeah, the entry within the fund, correct. Because we cut POs for every single expenditure, so that PO number is attached to that request, which has the notation.
Okay, that makes sense.
All right.
Any thoughts on any of those names?
I just like to keep things short. Just call it the, I don't know that it needs to be Genoa Township because it's Genoa Township is the entity. Just call it the Parks Giving Program or the Parks Giving Fund.
I think the Genoa Township Parks : was placed there more for the literature that would be done, so that would be a header on there, and then the name of it would be next in line. The discussion last night was also that, yes, that's really long when you start putting all that together.
Yeah. So you're saying Parks Giving Program. Any objections?
I'm fine with that.
Okay. Make a motion then that we rename the Genoa Township Legacy Program to the Genoa Township Parks Giving Program. Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion. Roll call.
Roll call, Mr. D'Antonio.
Yes.
Ms. Goodman.
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt.
Yes. Motion carries. Thank you. Thank you to the Parks Advisory Committee for taking that on. And I think we just continue to promote it now. Very good. Thank you. All right, speaking of such, I understand we have a donation. I will move to graciously accept a donation in the amount of $650 from Trent and Janet Edmonds for for a Legacy Park bench. We're now a Parks Giving Program bench. Is there a second?
Second.
Made and seconded. Any discussion?
Roll call, Mr. D'Antonio.
Yes.
Ms. Goodman.
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt.
Yes. Motion carries.
Thank you.
And we thank the Edmonds for that. Is there a specific place they want the bench?
Yeah, it's going in center green.
Center green. Very
yep.
good. Paul?
Good evening. Just first off, an FYI, we are now, since we are out in the bid phase of our police station, the bids have been advertised, and to date, four general contractors have picked up the bids, so I'm optimistic. It's still early in the game. October 1st is the official opening of the bids, so... With us this evening to speak on behalf of Tribel.
Paul, if I could, just
yes.
real quick on that. And Bob, probably should cover it under you. We pretty much finished with the site work over there as far as the dirt and bringing it up to grade and everything?
We're real close. I took all the equipment out of there. We got a little bit, but I'm going to do that. The manholes and catch basins and the pipe is all supposed to be delivered on the 25th of September. Then I'll get the equipment back and put the manholes and the pipe and all that in. But the dirt itself is almost at grade
yeah.
for the contractor.
Okay, very good.
Don't we have equipment to put the pipe and the manhole and the catch basins in?
Not big enough.
How deep are you going?
It's not the deep. It's the weight of them. The manholes and the catch basins all weigh over 4,000 pounds, and we have nothing that big to pick that much weight up.
None of our excavators can lift 4,000?
No. We've got a small grave digger.
Okay.
And this evening on my agenda, we have Tribel in the audience. Scott Valcastro could not make it, so Lucas Fikes, his director of operations, is here to speak to the board about some opportunities of a market that's dropped, and there could be some opportunities for lowering the rates to our township residents. So I'll let Lucas speak.
Come on up. Thanks, Paul. Good evening, board. My name is Lucas Fikes. I'm the director of operations with Tribel. If I could, I've got a couple graphs I'd like to come up and hand out to you guys. Yep. Both the natural gas and electric programs are up and running. They're both in good condition as we speak from everything that we can tell behind the scenes. I've got three graphs here, and I'm going to kind of tell you what I'm seeing in these graphs, and then we'll kind of pull back just a little bit, and I'll walk you through why we're wanting to do what we're going to do specifically with the natural gas program. So first graph on the front page here is a NYMEX futures graph for natural gas.
Excuse me, Lucas. Do we have that electronically that we can put up on the board for the audience?
I apologize. I do not have an electronic copy with me. I do have an extra copy with me that I can pass around if you'd like.
That's all right.
Okay, sure. So first graph is the NYMEX futures for natural gas. All this is telling you is that gas purchasing today, you know, each given day as this graph goes along is where the gas futures are. So what a supplier would be doing to go out and purchase for a future program looking out, say, 24 months in advance, right? So what all this graph is telling you, it goes all the way back to 2011, we are at a three-year low right now for natural gas futures. Going all the way back to 2016 was the last time that we saw gas prices be as low as they are right now. Now, your current program is a variable program. It's partially fixed, partially variable. So what it is the price that residents pay is based on the NYMEX month-end settlement price for natural gas, that's short for New York Mercantile Exchange, plus a retail price adjustment, or what's called a fixed adder, of 11.67 cents per CCF, so per 100 cubic feet of natural gas. Columbia Gas calculates what they charge residents that are just on the standard service offer program the same way. They do NYMEX month-end settlement price each month plus a fixed retail price adjustment of 11.8 cents. So currently, the way the current program, as you guys might remember, is set up is that you float just right underneath where Columbia is to guarantee that your people are going to be paying less than they would with Columbia, but it's not a fixed rate. Fixed rates, as we've watched the market, as we've seen what's going on, fixed rates right now are definitely the best way to go, but and that's how most programs you see are set up. Now, the reason for that, if you look at either of the next two graphs, so the second graph is just the NYMEX month-end settlement price. This will show you how your monthly residential gas price is calculated currently. So any of these where they fall out, this is in MCF, so it'd be 100 cubic feet instead of 1,000 cubic feet. But generally speaking, all of these, if you look down here, 2019, so this program has been going since October of 2018. So each one of those months, move the decimal point over one, and then you're going to add the 11.67 cents. That's what your residents are paying. Now, the reason why I'm saying that is if you look at the 3 months, December, January, February, just about every single year, the big jump up in prices that you see here with the NYMEX month-end settlement, which in turn means that the price your residents are paying under the current program or the price that Columbia Gas of Ohio customers are paying, for those 3 months, it jumps up significantly. So, for instance, if you take a look back in 2018, go from November where the base NYMEX price was 31.85 cents per CCF, in 1 month, it jumped up to 47.15 cents per CCF. You add in your 11.67 cents onto that. That means for that month's residents or Columbia Gas customers were paying upwards of 55, 57 cents a CCF. That's really high, especially when you're hitting the 3 months that probably 95% of all your natural gas usage is coming in those months. And so the idea of what we're here to do today is we've got the option in the original contract that the trustees had executed last, starting the program last September, that at any point, if the prices get favorable, we can request that Volunteer Energy look at a fixed price. So we can change that NYMEX Plus to a fixed price, which if we do now, assuming the markets do what they did last year and the year before that, where Columbia is charging more as you go into high usage months, then we've got a fixed price. If it does like it did last year in December, jumps up to 57 cents per CCF, your people are sitting at the price that we've got fixed today, which would be 37.5 cents per CCF. Anything under 40 is good to us right now and stuff that we're recommending. Now, the last graph here, it's going to mirror what the NYMEX Plus graph is, but this is the actual cost of what the price to compare is, what people paid every single month. Going back, you can see that in December of last year, it jumped way up. Right now, we're at a low. We do anticipate that going up as we go into usage months, for sure. But what we're here to recommend today, we've been working with Volunteer behind the scenes to see what we feel and they feel would be best for the program long term. Because we don't anticipate rates being this low moving forward, suppliers are telling us that they see it going back up over $4 for per MCF for gas. If that happens, it's going to be very unlikely that, say, 6 months from now, if we were to go back out to bid, that we'd be able to get something below that 40 cents per CCF fixed area that we're looking at. And so, long story short, as Scott worked with Volunteer behind the scenes, as we've been talking with them, what we've been able to come up with is we can do a fixed trigger for your current program, but to get it at the 37.5 cents per CCF, we would also do a year extension. So right now the program ends at September of 2020 to make sure that we get that good fixed low price so we're not putting ourselves in a situation where we have to go out to bid and can't hit the market at the right place. We would go ahead and extend the current program from ending in September 2020 out to September of 2021. And that would be starting this November at the meter read cycle. That would be at a fixed rate of 37.5 cents per CCF. So that is the recommendation that we're making. Since we are at a market low, those trigger docks are very sensitive whenever you trigger it over. So within a couple days, if the market moves, that figure could move up quite a bit. So it is something we would need to work on pretty quickly if you guys are interested in moving forward. But yeah, that's what I'm here to present tonight. It's the recommendation that we're looking to make to you guys. Of course, the decision's always with the board. But, you know, I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Carl, can I ask a question?
Sure.
So, September of 18, October, November, December, and then into 19, the numbers on this chart don't include the 11 cents, or do include the 11 cents?
The numbers on this chart do not.
Okay.
So, the numbers on this chart do.
So what you're saying is 37.5, September, October, November, December, January, February, March, April, May, June, all of those months would have been exceeding 37.5 when you add the 11.
All,
a good thing, right? Because
exactly, all of those months in last year, which tie in
this
exactly, and those are the 3 months where about 85 to 90% of all your usage is taking
July,
place.
July, August, September clearly is the lowest for everybody.
People are very little natural gas usage unless it's machinery or something
because
like that.
According to this, December would have been 55, like you said, 47, 40, 39. So okay, I just want to make sure that was.
Mm-hmm.
The way I was reading that.
Yeah, and then this last chart here is with the 11.8 cents added in. So this is actually the price you're paying every single month where all those data points are. So you can kind of see, while right now it's a little bit low, which is probably why you've got a lot of natural gas door-to-door salesmen coming around saying, hey, you know, we want to get you locked in now because people aren't looking at those high rates. But you know, for our purposes, we always look at the long-term goals of the program, and that is to put residents in the best position that they can, because if they're happy, you guys are happy. If you guys are happy, we're happy, you know, in our office. And so, yeah, like I said, that would be our recommendation, just to fix that in so that everybody knows exactly what they're paying every month. They're not watching that figure change month to month on their bills, especially when it gets high.
One of the questions that we get each time we renew a contract for this from our residents is, why do they have to opt out? They're automatically included.
Mm-hmm.
So if this is changed first to a fixed rate, mm-hmm. would they have to opt out again? And then also, if it were extended an additional year, would residents have to go through an opt-out process if they so chose?
So under Ohio law, as I'm sure Scott's explained to you before, it is required that at least every 24 months for a natural gas program, residents have to be given the opportunity to opt out of the program. Also under Ohio law, if there's any changes to any of the important terms within the program that residents need to know about, the stuff that's included in the opt-out letter, if there's any material changes to that stuff, residents have to know. So if we did the fixed trigger, then all the residents that are currently on the program would get an opt-out letter. They would be shown what that fixed rate is because they'd never seen it before. They would get a chance to opt out of the program. Now, if they've gone and say, put their name on a do not aggregate list with the PUCO, that should be ran behind the scenes. They would be excluded from the get-go. If they've previously opted out of the program, it is required by Ohio law that all eligible customers get an opt-out letter unless they've placed themselves on the PUCO do not aggregate list. So short of that happening, they are required to get an opt-out. The process is fairly simple with Volunteer. So it's the same company. It's not a new company. If they do nothing, they'll continue on the program. If they decide to opt out, they'll be removed at the next billing cycle, just like it always has been. But, yes, under this, with the fix, they would receive a new opt-out letter because there is a material change. So by law, we would have to give them the opportunity to see what that change is and then opt out if they so desire. So.
Okay. So the timing of this, so the do nothing would be everyone would remain the same, and then when would the 2 year trigger kick in? When would we be asking them to opt out?
Right. So what would happen if we were to move forward, do a motion tonight, get the fixed trigger taken care of, extend it out a year? They would receive opt-out letters about 23, so around the first week in October, because they've got to have 21 days to opt out with natural gas. it's not quite as tight with enrollment, so they can do it a couple days up to the November 1st meter read date. But opt-out letters would go out around the first week in October. They would stay out for 21 days, and then there's a seven-day recension letter that comes from the Columbia Gas, just like it always has. So it would be the same process. The program would start up in November. That opt-out process would take place the month before in October. So.
And currently, again, going back to the last graph, mm-hmm. we're showing August 29th, 2019, is that 0.34 cents?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So that's what we're paying right now.
That would be
plus the 11.
No, this is inclusive of the 11.8 cents.
Yeah. Okay. So that's August. So really what we need to be looking at from because right now they would be paying more.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So what you are saying is that price of 37.5, we would anticipate that hitting that area probably sometime in October, November?
November would be where that would kick in. And if you look back, you know, this particular graph goes back to 2016.
Right.
Every single year, November, December, you see the prices jump up. Like I said before, low gas prices are great in the summertime, but they're really great when you're using all your gas in the wintertime. So, again, November, December, January, February, all these graphs show the same thing. The price tends to go up in, at that time. A lot of that's based on either bad planning with storage and different stuff that goes on with natural gas, or just the fact that that's the usage months and it's when they can make their money. And auctions tend to go up during that period too. But yeah, if you were to take and draw your line straight across all the way back to 2016, you've got about the last 3 months when the prices have been low. But keep in mind, as futures prices, which is what we're looking at, the first graph is what we're looking at for your programs, those are also going to be based on where the NYMEX is settling, because that's people buying natural gas that month, you know, where the prices are coming in, what they can buy it in at that point. So this showing as a low is why we can also get the future pricing set as low as we can. So it's all tied in together, you know, in the long run. So right now, as the markets are low, is when you want to tie something in so that you're in a good spot moving forward. If we wait a couple months, which is of course in your right, but you know, the likelihood that we're still going to be able to break that 40 cent mark, you know, kind of dissipates a little bit. So, and all it would take in order to do this would be an amendment to the current contract, which I do have with me tonight. It's an amendment to attachment A, which is the pricing on the current contract, and it would extend it out a year. And then once all that's finalized, of course, I would get all that material to Paul.
Mm-hmm. One of the reasons we were looking at the variable was that we were always going to be underneath what mm-hmm. Columbia was.
Right.
So if we go to a fixed, we still could be what, for a lot of the season, the year, under what Columbia is, but that's not a guarantee.
It is not a guarantee, that is correct. Anytime you go with the fixed pricing, that is the risk. But the markets, both past markets and future markets, are telling us that this is the time to do it, to set it in while the markets are at a low right now. And, you know, once again, the benefit of the fixed rate versus the variable is, while you were saving less than half a cent on the variable side compared to the retail price adjustment for Columbia and ours, in a month like December of last year, instead of paying 57 cents, you're going to be at 37. And so in a month where you're using a lot more natural gas, that 20-cent savings, potentially 20-cent savings on what you're paying and what you would be paying, you know, that's what makes the difference in the year-long, you know, what you're paying for gas, what your savings are, all that stuff. So that's why we are making the recommendation to go to a fixed rate, because while it's nice to be floating underneath Columbia Gas, it's still not nice to be paying 56, 57 cents per CCF in those high usage months. And so this is what we're doing to protect that. And it does seem, if you look back over the last several years, each year that peak and trough seem to get more volatile, you know, and so If it follows that trend, then next year potentially it could go higher than 55 cents. We don't know for sure until that stuff's set month by month. But if you follow the trend over the last several years, as the graph shows, those rates have crept up every year in those same high usage months. So this would be intended to protect the residents and to keep them at the same rate. So they're going to pay the same rate for their usage. It's not going to be switching every month. They'll have a little bit more solid idea of exactly what they'll be paying moving forward for planning purposes as well. So
going back to Connie's question, I guess. So if an individual could opt out, mm-hmm. The current program, not wanting to go with a fixed, they would then go where?
They would just go back to
the
Columbia Gas. And once again, like it always has been, if they've got a contract with an individual retail natural gas supplier, they would not even be eligible for the program. They would not receive an opt-out letter. The only ones that will receive an opt-out letter are those either the ones enrolled in the program or those people who are eligible that are just with Columbia Gas of Ohio. So.
And can they opt out at any time in the end of the period?
Absolutely, yeah. All of our programs, whether it's electric or gas, they've always been set up zero termination fees. They can get in or out anytime they want to. We've got, I'm not sure if you guys have had the pleasure of meeting Jennifer in our office, but she handles all the customer service. She's really good about either getting people into the program or if somebody is upset that they've been put in something they didn't think they should be in, she'll also work with them to get out of it as well. So, and we'll send around the energy bulletins like we have in the past to let people know that the program's available, that, you know, what the rate is, all that good stuff, to make sure that everybody can make an informed decision on the back end.
Just as a point of clarification too, I know the last time we did this, I received a few questions from residents who said, how come I didn't get included in this? And this is only for publicly traded utilities such as Columbia Gas. For those residents that are on suburban natural gas, that is a private entity and thus they're not eligible. So they may or may not, you know, benefit from this mm-hmm. program depending upon who servicer is.
Yeah, that is correct. If they're suburban, just like I know South Central on the electric side is a co-op around here. While suburban isn't I don't think it's a resident-owned co-op. I think it's it's still publicly traded, but it's non-deregulated, which just means that they're not subject to the deregulation rules, and so aggregations just don't work there. So for those people, no worries, you're still going to stay with suburban.
Right.
And since we're not dealing with voting on it, it's not as if they even really have to be educated, other than the fact that, hey, if you've got questions, call us at our office and we'll walk you through the whole process and let you know what you are and aren't eligible for. So.
Any other questions or discussion? Frank?
You referenced that we have the option to in the contract to flip, mm-hmm. correct?
Yes, sir.
What about flipping without a contract extension?
Sure.
Contract extension is a requirement.
The contract extension is not a requirement, but our recommendation would be to extend it so that you can take advantage of the market low right now.
Yeah, but
so
that extends your contract also for an additional year.
Our contract with Trebell?
Trebell's contract with Genoa.
Okay, sure.
Right.
I believe Trebell's contract with Genoa is in line with either the electric or the natural gas program as it goes forward. That's how they've always been.
Right. One gets extended, the other gets extended.
Right, but I'm pretty sure your electric program already goes through 2021 right now, so I'm not sure that it would have more than a couple months worth of an impact from that aspect.
So a one-year extension is not necessary. It could be done without the 1 year. But from what I see on your charts, what I read, what I hear, what I foresee, and I made this argument before when we got into this, costs continue to go down. Okay, so yes, there is a spike, 2 to 3 month spike, but after every spike, it goes down. And so I'm not in favor of flipping to fixed rate. I'm not in favor of flipping and extending the contracts. And the reason I'm opposed to that is because that Trebell did not go through a competitive bidding process for the initial contracts. I think that it adds an administrative burden
to Genoa taxpayers, Connie, as you were talking about, not only the confusion factor, but I'll call it the hassle factor. And we've heard a lot about that. So I'm not going to support flipping to fixed contract or extending the contract.
Well, but if I'm correct, Frank, you haven't supported the aggregation program from the get-go.
Conceptually, the aggregation program, but not Trebell as a sole source vendor.
Well, I think that's point of discussion as well.
I am sorry to hear that, and I will say that we work tirelessly behind the scenes to make sure that both your residents as well as all the other communities that we serve are served well, are taken care of well. I know that both your previous program and your current program have put residents in a great savings position month after month. You know, I'm very proud of what we're able to do. I do appreciate your, you know, any concerns you might have. It's a market business. You know, and while the ultimate decision is yours, our job is to make recommendations based on what we're seeing. And while I understand that a layperson can look at the markets and feel as if they're, you know, we base our perception off what we're hearing from all the suppliers we work with and we deal with on a daily basis. What we're hearing from them is we're in a low. Electric, natural gas. Electric's already headed back up. Natural gas, if you look at these, has already planed out and is already starting to head back up. We're at almost $2 per MCF right now. Around, it's expected to go above four. So, you know, it's fine. It's fine to continue on with the current contract. It's fine, you know, potentially to not fix it. But once again, if we walk into a December like we were last year, that's a difference in 20 cents per CCF that potentially residents could save. And so, once again, our recommendation, the recommendation I was told to come with by mm-hmm. Scott after his discussions with all the suppliers and stuff would be that while, yes, we could fix it, throughout the term of the contract through September of 2020, the futures numbers we're seeing tell us that that may put us in a position where if 6 months in front of that, we go back out to bid, you know, say next year, early in the year or whatever, there is no guarantee that markets are going to be as low as they are right now. And nothing that we're seeing is telling us that they're going to stay low either. So that's, you know, we are limited to the information that we get. Markets, if, you know, a lot of people would be rich people if they could figure out exactly what the markets are going to do on all ends. You know, I've got an education in it. Scott has been doing this for years and years. You know, we do the best we can. That's the best recommendation we have for the board and what we think will put your residents in the best position. So with that being said, I'm happy to take any more questions you guys might have about it.
37.5 is cheaper than 30 in the last 33 months. If it was fixed, 30 out of the last 33 months, that would have been lower for the residents than what they paid. Would have paid on the variable, according to this. Mm-hmm. I'm not in it. I can't be in it. So I have any skin. Not eligible.
Pat, I'm with you. I'm not in it either. So, you know.
I just was circling where it would have been. Yeah. I didn't even go back to 2016. But 2017 through September, 30 of those months, 37.5 is the favorable price.
I know you said that you have the contract with you this evening. Unfortunately, I haven't seen it, and I don't believe anyone has. Paul, have you seen the contract?
So I'm a little bit
reluctant to do anything without having seen this and had an opportunity to go through it.
It's a half a page that just has the new rate and the date and all that stuff. I'm happy to leave it with you guys. Mm-hmm. If you want to run it by council or anything like that, that's perfectly fine.
We've scheduled another meeting for September 26th, you know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks thereabouts. I would like to, not look at the contract, I just want to look at these numbers a little bit more. To tell you the truth, yeah, there was some rough starts going forward, but I think there was also some efforts to make it a rough start for various reasons. And so I think that, you know, we've gotten through that. I don't like the fact that we would have to go, you know, I mean, the hassle aspect. I think that was a term Mr. Antonio used, but it is state law that we would have to do it. I think we're always, you know, the intent behind this is we know it's not saving residents huge dollars, but it is saving some. Mm-hmm. And if this would continue to save, then I think that's fine. And as we've always told people, it might be a hassle. You may have to take some action to opt out, but you have that option. So I think the program has matured. I don't think the anxiety is out there. I think the some of the rabble-rousers who, I think it was more a philosophical issue than, mm-hmm. than anything. But I'm not prepared to take action tonight. I think I appreciate you coming in. We'll probably have Paul or someone follow up with you on some other questions that we may have. But I would anticipate taking action at the next meeting, Paul. So between now and September 26th, we need to have our ducks in line. And any questions that the board has regarding this program, any changes of the contract, whatever, I would suggest getting those to Paul by a week before the next meeting. So that would be by the 19th, I believe, which was the date of our original meeting. And he'll get those to you,
sure.
If not before. We'll get those addressed, and then we'll, if we're going to do it, we'll decide at that time. If we're going to hold pat, then we'll.
Okay, that'll be fine. I do want to make sure it's on the record that the 375 is yep. essentially good through tonight.
Yep.
That rate, it will likely not be the same rate, or it could be north, it could be south if yep. the market settle a little bit. So just with the understanding that that will be a different rate, and what we can do, because they do have to be so tight with those trigger docks,
yep.
I can get the new rate to you like maybe 2 to 3 days before that meeting.
That'd be
just
great.
Like it was this time where we can't do it a week out in advance. We have to wait till right up until the meeting. But
yep.
but we can at least maybe get some indicative pricing before then. But
that'd be great.
That's kind of the constraints we're working with, though.
All right.
Sure.
All right, Lucas. Thank you very much for coming out tonight and explaining this. I mean, if it's an opportunity, we definitely want to take a look at it.
All right. Thank you for your time,
all right,
board.
Thank you.
Have a good evening.
Yep. Okay. Police.
Good evening. The first item is accept the resignation of Nicholas Gregory as a Genoa Township police officer effective August 19th, 2019.
I'll move to accept the resignation of full-time police officer Nicholas Gregory effective August 19th, 2019. Is there a second?
Second.
And second discussion. Roll call.
Roll call, Mr. D'Antonio.
Yes.
Ms. Goodman.
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt.
Yes. Mr. Carries.
That kind of leads into the next request is to request the board approve increasing our authorized staffing from 27 full-time police officers to 28 full-time officers. As you know, we hired two officers back in May of this year that brought us up to full staffing of 27. Those two have since resigned during their field training program, so we're down to 25 that we currently have, so we're understaffed by two. The impact of that on our current staffing is means a lot of overtime, some officers working 12-hour shifts. You know, when we have people off injured, that exacerbates it. People on vacation exacerbates the staffing. So our overtime is increasing. The impact on our personnel is increasing, decreases the opportunity for them to take any time off. So it is a burden on our staffing. We did, in anticipation of the levy, we've done an internal staffing study to look at what our anticipated needs are over the next 5 years as far as increasing our staffing, looking at the development. For example, that Blackhawk development up at Plum and Old Three is going to impact us. So we've looked at those things. We did a staffing study. We were going to do an outside staffing study, but it cost about $25,000. We have people that went through some training did it. We anticipate over the next 5 years a need to increase our staffing by 2 to 3 officers, and I staggered that in my levy projections. But we would like to authorize one of those positions now for a couple reasons. We know that one of our full-time officers is going to retire next year. We have a part-time officer who, you know, I'm not sure how long he's going to remain. We have a second part-time officer position that's open, and we've just never been able to fill it. We can't find people that want to work a part-time schedule. It's very difficult to find. So while that's been budgeted, we haven't been spending that. So we look at all that, and we think the time is right now. With the candidates we have now, we've been interviewing candidates, and we think we have three people who would be viable full-time offerings. We had one gentleman we were just getting ready to hire next meeting. He was coming from a department in Western Ohio. He called in the other day and said, listen, I'd have to take a $10,000 a year pay cut and lose all my sick time coming there. I just can't do it. So he's out after going through the whole process. But we think we have a third candidate. So the ability to hire three people and bring us up to where we need to be to really meet the needs of the taxpayers and provide the service we need to provide to the residents we think is crucial. We may or may not be able to hire those three people that are in the pipeline right now. Every department I know is having trouble hiring good people. And we're competing against every one of these departments around here that pay more than us. We know some of these other departments are recruiting some of our people to leave and go to these departments. So I don't know if we're going to be able to retain all the people we currently have. So just trying to get a little bit ahead of the game, I'd like to increase our authorized staffing because we can't really offer positions to people and get them through the process if we don't have the positions available. So it would just be an increase of one full-time officer. We have money in the budget for the remainder of the year to do it and money in the budget to appropriate for the next year. So I'd request your thoughts on that.
So, Steve, would that be, is it two openings? You say you have a part-time position that's not filled.
That's not filled, so I would just say eliminate that second part-time position because we've never been able to fill it. So it would bring us to 28 full-time officers from 27 full-time officers and one part-time.
Okay. So the increase is not necessarily, is it a full-time? If you take the part-time that we don't have, yeah, and you do away with it.
Financially, it's basically adding another 50% on top of the salary because the part-time works about half the year.
Right. Okay. Okay. So I don't see a motion. So what we're asking for then is increase
our authorized full-time staffing from 27 full-time officers to 28 full-time officers.
Full-time from 27
to 28.
Okay, so I'll go ahead and make a motion to see if there's any other discussion to increase the authorization for police department full-time officers from 27 to 28. Is there a second?
Second.
Second. Okay, further discussion. What else are we anticipating? Within that 5 years, you say there's two to three in the next 5 years. Is that over and above this one, or is
no, counts that one. And so instead of looking at doing it next year or in 2021, do it now. Because, again, with an officer retiring next year.
Yeah.
And the thing is I want to be able to hire people when we have people available. It's so hit and miss right now. It's so difficult. So if we have people, good people available, I'd like to try and get them on board now. The training, field training takes 400 hours, so they're not even ready to be out on their own for 400 hours, basically 10 weeks.
Okay, motion's on. It's been seconded. Any further discussion? Roll call.
Roll call, Mr. D'Antonio?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes. Motion carries.
Thank you. That's all I have for tonight, unless there's anything for me.
Thank you, sir. Zoning? Anything?
Why not? One item for you this evening. Last week or 2 weeks ago, I forwarded you onto an email we received from Zoning Commission member Tara Patrick informing us that she'll be resigning from the commission effective immediately. She said some other opportunities come up and just can no longer commit time necessary to perform this role. So I guess first off, we need to make I would ask the board formally acknowledge that resignation.
Okay, I'll move to accept the resignation of the Zoning Commission member Tara Sorchik, effective September 5th, 2019. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded. Discussion. Roll call.
Roll call. Mr. D'Antonio?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes. Motion carries. How are we as far as we have two alternates, correct?
We currently have two alternates. So this creates a vacancy, obviously, at the full voting member position, right. And she's we currently have two alternates. So it'll be up to the board to determine how you want to go forward. Obviously, we usually don't start collecting applications for the annual until December or January, and then those people don't start serving until April 1st, so we'd be talking about going several months being short. We certainly can do that. My preference would be to have we're going to be short probably either way because we're either going to have to promote someone up to the full voting member status or we're going to have to and then seek a new alternate or
well, that's what I was going to say.
Seek for this, or we could just stay as is and be short.
Yeah, can't we move an alternate up?
Yeah, that's definitely. I did talk to both alternates. Mr. Welch is interested. Mr. Moore actually told me he right now he's since still, he felt like since he's still so new, he'd be more comfortable remaining as an alternate. So actually,
both
sort of works out.
Alternates are new from April of 2019.
Yes, they're both.
I don't see a need to appoint one over the other. We have two substitutes, two alternates. They can switch back and forth to decide which one shows up and becomes a sitting member. There surely should be enough. And they don't, there's five on the group. They got two extras. So there should be enough to have a quorum at any point in time.
Yeah, I can't think of a point where we've never had a quorum. There's been a couple times we've been down to three members, but we've never had not been able to have a meeting.
My preference would be to hold off on appointment of the full time, or what do you full member, I guess is what the term is. Hold off on the full member until we solicit applications in December, January, like we normally do.
Well, and Connie, you've been on zoning. What's your thought on?
I agree with Joe. I think there's only been maybe once or twice where I can remember that there's been three members there. We still had a quorum. They were very good about giving the applicant an option of did they want to have the hearing or not, given that they would have to have every member voting one way or the other for a decision. I think that the system works well in assigning an alternate for any given meeting to make the full five members for that meeting. I don't necessarily see a need to solicit applications. We're in September. If Joe's comfortable with waiting until next April, I'm okay with that.
I'm comfortable, honestly, doing whatever. I think it's more of a question of really is the commission comfortable. I haven't even met with them since we got this, so I'll bring it up to them on Monday. I mean, and obviously, if we decide not to do anything tonight, it's not like it's a permanent decision. If we change our minds, we can always the next meeting do take action, so it's not like
the only thing I would have. I mean, we do have two new alternates, but they're going to be more experienced than probably any new applicants we get, simply because they've been alternates.
Most likely,
yeah. So that would be the only thing that if we were to do anything, and if Mr.
Well, and you could always shuffle people around at that.
Yeah.
Time to.
So what your recommendation is, we don't have to do anything right now.
I don't think you have to necessarily do anything. It's always nice to have a full contingency just because it's the best percentage-wise, you know, from a risk standpoint of not having enough people. But
what do we have anticipation? I mean, it looks like we have a meeting on the 9th of September. I mean, are you anticipating anything coming before the commission?
They have no pending applications right now. They had a very busy spring and summer, but they finally moved all those through the system. Genoa Baptist was the last sort of one out there that you dealt with last week. So the only thing on their agenda for this Monday is discussion of a potential zoning resolution amendment. And this is dealing with all the technical stuff that we had done during the assessment a couple years ago, a lot of the legalese kind of things.
Okay.
Well, I've said before, I'm a proponent of advancing alternates onto a full membership and then bringing new people on as alternates. I think the other thing that we often look at is there someone on the BZA that might be interested in moving? They've got the zoning knowledge. They understand the resolution. And so, you know, if we find a need, there's a shortage of people, then I wouldn't have a problem addressing this in the future. But I think if you're okay with your people are showing up, I don't think there's a need to do anything.
Yeah, I think attendance has been pretty good. Like I said, I'll run it by the commission on Monday just to gauge their opinion because it's really their group. I'm just sort of the staff rep there, so I shouldn't claim that I run the commission because I certainly don't.
Okay.
I'll mention it to them, and if they do have concerns, I'll bring them back to the board.
Deal with it at the next meeting.
Yep.
Okay. Very good. Thanks. All right. Seeing no other, any other business come for the board? Seeing none, announcements. September 9th, Zoning Commission meeting. September 11th will be the Police Advisory Committee meeting. September 14th, 8 a.m., starting the fishing day over at Hillmar Park. And I think we're anticipating a big turnout for that popular event. September 18th, 6 p.m., Parks Advisory Committee, and they will be meeting at Freeman Park. And our next trustee meeting will be September 26th at 8:30 a.m. Hearing no other business coming before the board, I will move to adjourn this meeting at 7:55 p.m.
Second.
Yes. Is that right? 7:55? Okay. Second. Roll call.
Roll call, Mr. D'Antonio.
Yes.
Ms. Goodman.
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt.
Yes. I had to double check myself. Stand adjourned at 7:55 p.m.